What's up, family? Welcome back to the Stop Sinking Show, where we go from struggle to flow. Are you a cook or a chef? A chef or a cook? What does that even mean? Most of us are cooks. We spend most of our lives following someone else's recipe. We follow paths laid out for us. We don't question half the things that we believe. We take for granted the way that things are supposed to be, the way that things are supposed to fit together, and accept norms of what pairs well together, what matches, what is weird and what is not. And a cook isn't necessarily anyone that's less talented or less skilled than a chef. He might have practiced under the best of tutelage and is great at executing on laid out directions. The problem is that while perfect practice might make perfect, it does not make new. Practice does not make new. The new is where the chef comes in. A chef is someone who experiments with the ingredients, someone who colors outside of the lines, who goes off the path of the recipe and creates his own recipe. He pairs things together that seemingly wouldn't fit. He thinks from first principles and thinks from the most basic fundamental levels of everything and then reconstructs a version of reality, questions every assumption, every built-in bias in learning, and ponders on the problem or recipe and approaches it with creativity and possibly coming up with new solutions. Most of us are not chefs, or at least don't play like one. Now, by no means do I mean being one is better than the other. Being a cook is on the way to becoming a chef. And if you're serious about any craft or are invested in growing in any area of your life, you will have to learn when to put on the chef hat and when to put on the cook apron. There will most likely be seasons and periods of your life where you are entirely an apprentice, studying and absorbing the how-tos of how things are done before you go off into your own uncharted territory. And I'm a firm believer that the most creative person is one who first learned and then abided by the most well-accepted rules out there. And then once he had worked his compliance muscle enough to have learned the craft to adhere to how things are done, then experimentation comes naturally because you have learned the relationship of how things work together. You have to learn 400 notes that you can play and then pick the right four. There's no skipping the difficulty and hard work that goes into learning the ins and outs of your discipline. Your accumulated time in something is what develops your palate and then your flavor and allows you to see things that others can't. And once you have mastered the rules, you can break the rules as a master. Then you can use and bend the strings and barely use your pinky like B.B. King. Then you can input and inflect your style into something. We are all cooks at first, but we don't all go on to be chefs. Why is that? A lot of it starts in the cook phase. We don't become well-disciplined and learned cooks while we have that role, either because we don't humble ourselves and think that we are entitled to be chefs already and break the rules already and don't really learn the craft well enough, thus then limiting our upside potential, or we change the profession too often. We try to be cooks in too many areas and not gaining enough ground in one area and not going deep enough before going wide, which also means we might waste a lot of time doing things that we are not entirely inclined to or have inherent advantages in. And in the most general sense, the place that most of us get stuck is the trap of good enough. Many of us get to a good enough stage in most of what we do and don't have any internal heat or desire that presses us enough to do more. Getting good enough is the largest bucket in which most of us are trapped. Good enough for your job to not get fired. Good enough in your position. Good enough as a member of your family, group, or society. Just good enough that nothing seems broken. Nothing tastes bad. Maybe even consistently good enough. But good enough is never great, never memorable. never enough to satisfy you. This isn't just about being original either. Maybe nothing is original. Maybe everything in the world rests on everything that came before it. But it's about willing to play with the ingredients that makes a chef. It's the art after you have learned the science. It's the tedious, slow, grinding, often failure-ridden attempts. The constant tweaking, the patience to experiment, the uncertainty, the unclear direction, the doubt, the playfulness that makes a chef. And of course, there are personality differences. And maybe you can argue that some are just meant to be cooks. And I don't know how to agree with that statement without also agreeing and accepting that God made only some of us special and some of us more special than others. Would you really want to believe that? Don't you think that there is something so unique and beautiful about you that then calls for you to find and create the arena or playground best suited for you in which you are a chef of your own, where your tastes can emerge? An area in which the unique flavoring or combination of ingredients that you bring is the exact recipe or solution. So first, embrace the cook phase. Learn everything as diligently as you can. Play an active role in pushing yourself to the edge of your own capabilities and understanding. Take in outside counsel as much as you can, and don't be dogmatic about this part. There is no right way to do anything or most things. Do not look for a guru or one source of truth. Survey the landscape. Ask thousands of people if you can, and then filter them by believability and credibility in that area and rate their answers by most relevant to you at your current stage in development. And then refer back to these learnings, these things, this data that you gather. You might find additional clarity from the same set of data at different points in your journey because you'll be looking for different things, like reading the same book through different parts of your life and finding it to be a completely different book each time. Listen to as many people as possible and still, though, do your own thing. You have to do the synthesizing and what makes most sense for you. This is where the art starts to creep in. And only after you have taken in a bunch of data like a scientist and have learned the manners and methodologies that then allows you to even have enough nuanced understanding to know what makes sense or not, then the art starts to creep in. And then as the art starts to creep in, allow it. Play with your understanding of how different parts relate. And look for connections outside of the well-accepted normal conventions to see if something else might fit. This is how most innovations happen. Studying wind turbines and making them smaller and miniature versions into a vacuum cleaner. Finding the application of something in one area and borrowing the same principles to provide solutions in another area. Would you call that original or creative usage of the well-accepted norms? It doesn't matter. Either way, it's art. And I want to say, it all comes down to caring. It's the one ingredient you can't buy, coach, or pay for. Two people in the room equal talent, skill, and endowments. The one who cares more will outperform, outlast, outlive the other. Many of us are hardworking. We'll stand over the heat of the stove for 15 hours a day if we need to. We have little problem showing up to cook every day. And maybe we're waiting for the permission, the acknowledgement, the title, the designation. But what a lot of us don't have is the belief, the vision. And without that, with no clear goal, when the opportunity is in front of us, we don't hone ourselves with each one of those passing opportunities. We have no reason to. Why be the best cook possible if we don't have the vision to tie it to? And then we fall back into lazy thinking, accepting the things that are well accepted, and resigning ourselves to following the recipe. More art buried inside of the artist. I love you, family. Stay true always. I see you on the next show.